Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It has been said that the depth of our prayer ought not to be determined by the poverty of our heart, but by the richness of God's Word. That's a way of saying that our difficulties, our trials and struggles, our own internal conversation ought not be the root of our prayer, but rather God's Word. God's Word should be that which guides our prayers. The fact is, the only perfect words we have to give are in fact His own Word. What better way to pray then than to speak back to Him the words He has first given to us? This holds true both for the content and the structure of our prayer. Since the Middle Ages, the Church has often prayed using a form of prayer called a collect form of prayer. Bear with me here, I promise this will be worth it, okay? You have heard the format of this prayer before, often here in chapel. And if you listen to the prayers, as we pray them again, you will often find, in general, five parts to these prayers. You're going to find an address, a rationale, a petition, a desired result of that petition, and typically a doxological conclusion. Now, the pastors and theologians of the Middle Ages did not just make up this form of prayer out of the air. They didn't just invent it. They took as their pattern the Scriptures, and we can see an example of this pattern in St. Paul's prayer today. It leads us into the richness of God's Word as we consider together this five-fold pattern. So, St. Paul begins with the first, the address. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He is addressing God the Father, as many of our collects do, begins by addressing His Father and ours, our Lord's Father and ours. Note also not simply to whom He speaks, but also the posture of His prayer. He prays on bended knee. The fact is, the posture of our worship and prayer is not commanded by God, but that does not mean that our posture lacks meaning and significance. To pray on bended knee indicates our posture of receiving, even as we are in the act of petitioning, the act of asking. So why does St. Paul pray to the Father? Well, this leads us to the second part, the rationale, the reason he speaks to the Father. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. The families of heaven and earth, the patria from which we get patriarchy. That is, we might say, from whom every patriarchy in heaven and on earth is named. All these families find their source in him. Of course, this encompasses both the families of the earth and the families of heaven, but in different ways. As children of God, you might say, as families of heaven in some sense, we bear and receive his name. And as those who have his name, we also therefore receive his riches and inheritance, in a way that the patriarchies of earth do not. St. Paul is addressing his prayer to the Father because, as he will reveal, it is this Father that has chosen us, as we have said time and time again, and you're probably tired of hearing, but you're going to hear it again and again and again until I'm done, because he has chosen us from before the foundation of the world to be his children. And he has made us co-heirs by our incorporation, our uniting to Christ. Next, St. Paul continues with the third part, the petition. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul asked that these Ephesians, and also you by extension, would continue to receive the Holy Spirit, and that by this Holy Spirit they would be renewed as Christ dwells within them. Here he makes clear and explains what are these riches that he's talked about time and time again in the book of Ephesians. So he's brought these up several times, and he calls them such things as immeasurable riches and unsearchable riches, and they are yours. How? Through the dwelling of Christ in you. In the previous section of Ephesians chapter 3, St. Paul expounded on what he calls the mystery of Christ. And the mystery is in part this, that Christ dwells in you. Sadly, the ESV translation obscures this a bit when it says in your inner being. It's not your inner being, it's your inner man. Whether you are man or woman, in Christ you have an inner man, Christ himself who dwells in you. Part of the mystery of Christ is that the new man in you, who struggles against the sinful flesh, is not simply a better version of you. This new man is in some mysterious way Christ living in you as well, renewing you in his image. These are part of the riches of God given you in the waters of baptism, and by the Holy Spirit, Paul desires that you would continue to be filled up with this gift. The result is now the fourth part of our fivefold pattern. St. Paul continues, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The knowledge of God in the Scriptures is more than simple intellectual assent, more than simply saying, yes, I know that God exists. To know God is to know and confess Him as your Lord and King, as your Redeemer, in short, as your God and Father. That is, in some sense, to know the unknowable. St. Paul wants you to be so strengthened by the Holy Spirit that you might know the unknowable and unsearchable God, that you might delight in riches you can't comprehend or understand or even begin to count, and in so knowing, be filled with God. How the fullness of the deity dwells in Jesus is beyond our knowledge. In a similar way, we cannot comprehend how the fullness of God dwells and fills us. And yet, through the salvation given you in the waters of baptism, this is what our God does, dwell in us. How else then could we end this prayer except in a doxological ending, giving praise and thanks to Him? Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.